Hi, thank you so much for pressing play. What we're going to talk about here on this podcast is debunking It's All in Your Head. My name is Kim Kardashian. My business name is Hidden Promise. And what I love talking with everyone about lately is something I like to call inner journey horsemanship. And this is a big, big part of that. So a lot of times when people say it's all in your head, it's kind of meant to be a put down. But I've had a lot of clients tell me this, especially when they're dealing with some type of immune system disorders where they've been to a lot of doctors, and the either implication or direct languaging of it's all in your head. And sometimes I want to tell them, well, look at the doctor and say, well, no poop, Sherlock. I don't know if you're supposed to swear in podcasts, but yeah, it's true. For example, if you cut your finger, it's pain receptors in your brain that let you know that hurts. You know, that protects you if you're touching a hot stove, or as we interact with our outer reality, our brain is what links us to that reality, the insides. So the great news is that we can shape our external world from our internal perceptions. And sometimes the unfortunate news is that we haven't really ever been taught this. I mean, wouldn't that have been a great class to have in high school? You know, kind of how to harness the power of our thinking and our mind and be able to make a difference in our lives. I often like to term talks I do at the expo, change your thinking, change your writing, because we really can make a big difference from how we're perceiving things. And one of the things that I always like to remind people and myself of is that, you know, we are very human, and we deal with a lot of conditioning in our everyday lives. And just because we're talking about some of these concepts here, they can be somewhat simple, but they're not always easy. And like anything that we're learning to do, practicing, experimenting, kind of giving ourselves a break, because often we're still going to find ourselves thinking thoughts that seem like they came out of nowhere, or that we aren't really working in our best interest. And what we can do then is just try again, choose a different thought. Beating up on ourselves is not going to make any positive difference, but some of us are very conditioned to do that too. So just wanted to give that little disclaimer in there too, because the better teacher we can be to ourselves, the better our life will feel, the better our external results will be, and the better we'll feel about things. And really, that's a big part of living a successful life, is just how we feel. All right, so back to changing our thinking, changing our writing, or our lives. Right now, the experience that we're having in this moment, or in any moment, is determined by three things. It's determined by our thoughts, our feelings, and our behaviors. So what we're thinking about, the emotional experience that we're having, and our actions, all of that combined, it makes like a circle. And that determines the experience we're having in this moment. And if we change any one of those three things, our state will change. So we could pick one. And emotions, they're kind of the hardest ones to just change. Obviously, if I could just say, okay, well, you know, feel happy and excited, maybe you can get a little bit of momentum, but possibly then your brain's like, no, nothing here to really feel like that about. Or if you're, you know, you've just suffered a loss and you're very, very sad, if I yell at you to change your feeling, not going to work too well. Not going to be very effective. We can change our behaviors or our actions, and I've proven this to clients, and I think some of them would have liked to have clobbered me with something. But what I would have them do, for example, is if we were in an arena, is skip across it. And it's awfully hard to not change your state when you start skipping. A lot of people will feel happy or lighter because, you know, it's a pretty light movement in your body. And a lot of us, it reminds us when we were kids, because most normal adults don't go skipping around. It can also cause some of them to feel incredibly embarrassed, which is still a different state than they felt, you know, when we were just having a conversation. So we can change those two things. And the most effective way to change our state is by changing our thoughts. Not only does it change our perception, how we're interrelating from, you know, internal to external world, but when we think thoughts over and over again, what we're doing is programming our subconscious. And this is really, really important because our subconscious is responsible for so much of what happens in our everyday lives. Now, it runs bodily functions, processes, heartbeat, things like that, but it also dictates, you know, our patterns, our habits, our conditioning. I've seen different statistics, anywhere from 87 to 95% of our daily life is run by our subconscious. So, you know, you can pick a number within there. I usually like to go like 90, 93. Example that I give often about how our subconscious can run our lives is, you know, when you're driving out your driveway and you usually turn right and you need to go left for some reason, but because you've always gone right, you turn that way. One time when my daughter was an infant, I think it was January, and here in Michigan, that can be an awfully cold time of year. And we were having a storm, a blizzard of some sort, and we had lost our power. And I was home by myself with her, and I had called my parents, and they welcomed us to come over there. So I'm walking around in, you know, the house with no electricity, carrying my daughter, thinking about what I have to pack up in the diaper bag, going through these lists. And what do? I walk in the bathroom, and I flip on the light switch. So I was very aware that we had no power, no electricity. That is why I was clambering around doing all of these things. Yet the habit, I walked in the bathroom and my hand goes to the light switch. So that's one of those examples of, you know, subconscious just kind of taking over and running the show. And oftentimes, because of how our subconscious is programmed, we end up just acting out of habit or pattern, even though that's not going to get us our end result. For example, working with riders, you know, if somebody is working on, I'll go back to a little bit of my dressage, they're working on changing how they ask the horse to turn or bend in a circle, maybe remembering not to lean to the inside. But unless they're consciously thinking of something else, or they're consciously thinking about what they're doing and remembering maybe to be aware of their outside seat bone, the same old habit and pattern is going to creep in. And this is why sometimes it can be so frustrating when we're trying to learn a new skill, is because if we either just go on autopilot, or sometimes if in our trying to learn this new skill, we tense our body. And because of how our brains are set up, if our thinking is high, our emotions will be low. And if our emotions high, our thinking will be low. And so if we're kind of in that trying too hard, there's some anxiety in that. That sends more of the brain to the back of our, or excuse me, more of the blood to the back of our brain, and we can't think the same way. And often when we're trying to redo something, rewire our whole experience of something, we have to be able to think our way through it so that we can do something different. So if I'm getting a little bit upset or anxious that I want to do this thing so badly, yet it's not coming, the more that I get into the angst about that, the less I'm setting myself up for success because I can't think a different thought. So a lot of times, you know, most especially riding is such a great example, because we're up on a horse, we have to be aware of our bodies. Well, we don't have to, but if we want to stay on and make it a pleasant experience for both of us, it's pretty helpful. So when we start to feel ourselves getting a little bit caught up in our brain, or more caught up in the feeling or the fear of not being able to do what we want to do, we can get back into feeling our body, which will kind of give things the balance so that we can have more equal parts of thinking and feeling, and allow us to be able to create this new experience that we're hoping for. Thoughts that we think over and over again become beliefs. And that's at the time that they become these beliefs is when they've sunk down into our subconscious. So if I keep thinking over and over again, you know, I'm a sloppy rider. Well, I am programming my subconscious to reach for that. And our subconscious is goal-driven. So if I, you know, by thinking these thoughts over and over again, if I'm not paying attention to where they're leading me, I could, you know, I can be going in the wrong direction, or sometimes we end up going in the opposite direction of where we want to go, because, you know, nobody really taught us about how the subconscious works. Subconscious also can have a hard time with no. For example, if I say to you right now, whatever you do, don't think of a red balloon, you know, it gets real hard not to kind of have one of those images pop in your mind. And maybe you managed not to, but I'm willing to bet that you were a little bit tight and earnest in your trying not to. So, you know, just pointing out that if we take some time, give some thought to what we want to reach for and how we can think about it, explain it to ourselves, it can make a big difference. So next time we'll talk a little bit more about negative or limiting beliefs, because you know that's a whole subject in itself, but it's definitely worth talking about. So as we're kind of unraveling what's in our subconscious and will it get us where we want to go, what we really want to pay attention to is how we feel. Because, you know, if you think about most of the things that we want, let's for fun say, okay, I want to win the lottery. Okay, well, lots of dollars in my bank account isn't really what I want. What I want is how I will feel when I have all those dollars in the bank account. You know, I might feel relief because I know I can pay my bills. I might feel excitement because I can build a new indoor arena, or, you know, have the funds to take care of more horses. So these things that we think we want, or not saying we don't really want them, but why we want them is because of how they will make us feel. So being aware of how we want to feel will help us be able to choose the thoughts that we want to think. And deliberately thinking thoughts will get us much more of what we want, less of what we don't want in our lives. So this also reduces kind of the internal fighting or some of the conflict that we can have internally as we're learning a new skill or reaching for a goal. And, you know, as horse people, we are very aware of the fact that horses are prey animals and they react to what's congruent. And some of the principles that equine facilitated learning and psychotherapy is based in is how horses respond to congruence. Because we have our own congruence within us, our body, mind, and spirit. And the closer we bring ourselves to our authentic alignment, that we're thinking and feeling and acting in ways that that speak of our essence, basically. Our horses will feel more comfortable around us, which will help build trust and increase our bond. And maybe another time too, we'll talk about how horses alert us that we're not congruent or we're out of alignment. So thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we've talked about some ideas that can help you choose thoughts that are going to help you reach your goals better, as well as just add more peace and satisfaction to your lives. So check out confidencethroughconnection.com if you'd like to learn more about what we do at Hidden Promise. We have a Facebook page, Hidden Promise. So visit us there if you want, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.